Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Well, I'm leaving you, baby. Lord, I'm going back home today.
Well, Stevie Ray bringing us back to late great SRV. I'm Jim Blasingame. 17 after the hour. I am a Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and welcome my book, The Age of the Customer, and that's ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Diana Fritschgott-Roth, and she's a former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor, director of economics21.org, an outstanding website that I encourage you to check out. You'll thank me later. She's also a fellow with Manhattan Institute, the co-author of Disinherited, one of her many books that she's written. Diana, thanks again for being here. So
great to be with you.
You gave us a great tour of the internals of the jobs number, the jobs report from last week. One of the things that a lot of people are that this ties into is the economic condition of Americans. A lot of people are concerned about the middle class.
Yes.
The middle class is declining. There seems to be some question about whether there's upward mobility. And what do you think about that? Where do you stand on all that? And what do you think are the great generators of mobility or not?
Well, first of all, I don't think that the middle class is declining. I think that that's a myth. What's happening is that there are people delaying marriage, so there's more one-person households.
The younger, the Gen Y generation, the millennials, they are delaying marriage, aren't they? They're delaying a lot of their life, aren't they? Buying houses, getting married, having children, etc.
Right, yes. But as far as the inequality goes, they're delaying marriage, so there's more one-person households. And then at the other end, people are living longer. So there's more retired people who outlive their spouses. There's more one-person households that way. Then at the other
end, does that skew the numbers and make us think
that makes us think that there's more inequality? Because if you look at, say, you have this lady who's living on the Upper East Side in a nice apartment, and she's living off savings, she doesn't have a lot of income, so she's very well likely to be in the bottom quintile or the second to the bottom quintile. Then you have a lot of two-earner couples because of these women who've moved into the labor force.
Right.
They're all in the top quintile, so it looks like there's no middle class. But really, it's because there's some more two-earner couples and more single-person households.
What you're saying then is the dynamics of demographics and the behavior inside of those demographics is skewing the traditional way we look at statistics.
Exactly. Yes, that's right. That's right. It's just skewing the makeup of the population, so it makes us think that there's no middle class.
And
but
it's really just,
really
the, fact
it's just
that,
the demographics.
Right. Our population is changing. There's no question that we have to look at things differently when we look at statistics. We have to look at things differently from the standpoint of the upper end and the lower end. Because baby boomers, my generation, Diana, we're going to change a lot of statistics from a historical standpoint, aren't we? Not just
yes, absolutely. I mean, life expectancies are increasing, and that's a wonderful thing. It doesn't mean that the middle class is necessarily being hollowed out. Plus, there's a life cycle process. People, they graduate from high school or college. They get their first job. They get their second job. Maybe they get married. And then they just go move up through the income classes. To say that the middle class is getting hollowed out basically forgets the fact that you were just moving through these classes all the time, and our incomes are in a U-shaped pattern. Mm-hmm. We don't earn a lot when we graduate, then we earn more, then we get married and go up to one of the top classes, then we go down again as we retire, and we live off those assets that hopefully we have been saving up.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, look, you take my situation. My parents both retired in their 60s. I don't plan to ever retire.
Yeah, I don't plan to retire either.
And so, I mean, I'm an example of I'm blowing that statistic out. And what are some other things that might be going on that explains? So, what you're saying, it sounds like, is it's probably not that things are getting worse. It's just that they're getting different.
Yeah, yes, yes. Well, in some ways, things are getting worse, and that is that our levels of education are getting worse. And we've seen data recently on how SAT scores are actually going down. And one reason might be we're focusing less on the core skills like reading and math and more on computers in class and iPads.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. There's, of course, the educational expert. But the point is, if our educational levels are less than they were before, then we can't have the income growth that we could. We shouldn't be sending or forcing kids to go to these schools with a 55% graduation rate. There's
right.
no way they're going to be able to get a good education.
Well,
or
they're not preparing them. They're not preparing them for 21st century jobs.
Exactly.
And you know, there's some news out now about the fact that some of these liberal arts colleges are being exposed as charging people a whole lot of money to graduate people without any skills.
Yes, exactly. No, that's right. That's right. So when you talk about income inequality and you look at income, well, income is only generated by the skills that you have. And if we want
right.
people to have higher incomes, we've got to make sure that they have higher skills, and we can't leave people behind in these schools with 55% graduation rates. We need more charter schools, more school choice, like Governor Sandoval is doing in Nevada,
right.
where the tax dollars follow the schools.
Right.
We need to focus on giving people the skills they need to earn the income they want.
You know, that's exactly right. And another thing we have to remember is when our kids are graduating, they're not just competing against the other people that they can see in their marketplace. They're competing in the aggregate. Against people in other parts of the world when we live in a globalized economy.
Exactly.
Hold on
That's
to that
right.
thought. We're going to come back. I'm going to ask Diana Fritschgott-Roth to tell us what the Fed is doing. Is that hurting or hindering economic recovery? Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.